Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports Station.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union. Streaming through the Seattle Sports app and at seattlesports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
Here we go now.
All right, we got the head coach, Pete Carroll, for his Wednesday press conference scheduled in 15 minutes. We will take you there live once we see him at the podium. So to get started, we're going to take a look around the NFL. Let's go with NFL headlines. I'm going to start in the AFC North. It is a battle right now between the Bengals and Ravens. Both teams dealing with some pretty significant injuries, though. The Bengals have Joe Mixon in concussion protocol. He is trending toward playing. Don't take my word for it. No one knows yet. He has not cleared protocol. Keep an eye on that injury. Also in the AFC North with the Ravens, Lamar Jackson still not practicing. Tyler Huntley set to fill in. The Ravens are taking on the Steelers. Bump between the Ravens, who may be without Lamar Jackson for a while, and between the Bengals, who may or may not have Joe Mixon, who do you like to take the North for the remainder of the season?
You got to go with cool Joe Burrow over there in Cincinnati. He still has Higgins. He still has Jamar Chase. Doesn't have Joe, but... as long as you're a threat to run the football, you should be okay. It really, man, it comes down to quarterback play. Nothing against Tyler Huntley. He was 27 to 32, 187 last week against the Broncos. But you know there's going to be a learning curve. If you're not a starter in this league and you are thrusted into the starter position, you're going to take some bumps and some bruises along the way. I'm going with the guy who was in the Super Bowl last year.
All right, next up here, Panthers running back Donta Foreman has a foot injury. He did not practice today. Now, this is a running back that Mora said, you know, hey, keep an eye on him if you need running back depth. TBD if he'll play, but he could be a great option, unfortunately, against a Seahawks defense that has really struggled against the run. Per Joe Person, who covers the Panthers, he said that head coach Steve Wilks doesn't seem overly concerned. So, again, watch for Foreman, who will be a factor against Seattle. How much of a threat is the Panthers' offense if they can't run?
If they can't run, then they become less of a threat. You feel like even if Foreman is available, they're not as big of a threat as we've seen in the past weeks. But you cannot sleep on any team that can run the football. He had 113 against the Broncos, 130 against Atlanta, 118 against Tampa Bay. He's shown that, look, if I get about 15 carries, he can do some damage. So respect everybody.
All right, the Houston Texans fighting for that number one spot in the NFL draft are making a quarterback switch. Now, they started with Davis Mills, then benched Davis Mills for Kyle Allen, and now they benched Kyle Allen for Davis Mills. Mills will start for the Texans in their Week 14 matchup against the Cowboys, per head coach Lovie Smith. Considering the Cowboys just dropped 50-plus in their last game, I'm going to go ahead and say they get 50 again against Texas.
Man, the 50-burger on them.
Houston.
The 50 burger.
50.
Here's the thing, man. Kyle Allen, we feel like we know who he is at this point, mm-hmm. right? Davis Mills.
He had moments.
But Davis Mills, man, they were raving about this young man before the season started. That's how hard it is to find a quarterback. Texans thought they had somebody in Davis Mills. Maybe they still do. 11 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Mm-hmm. But as soon as you start going back and forth with quarterbacks and everyone's healthy, that's an issue.
All right, big story in the NFL this morning about the Bills. Von Miller's out for the year. He was dealing with an injury. There was a possibility he'd be out. Now he's officially out with a torn ACL. The Bills' defense started out as one of the more dominant defenses in the league, potentially the top defense, and then just lost several starters. They're still a great team. I started out, Bump, really confident the Bills would be the Super Bowl winners this year. I'm still confident they're one of the better teams in the AFC. The Chiefs will not die. How do you see the Bills as the powers that be and how they stack up in their conference?
I mean, they're still one of the best, top two or three in the conference. You lose Von Miller, that's a big blow to your team. Mm-hmm. Led the team with 8 sacks, 10 tackles for losses, 2 passes defended, and a forced fumble. And not only does he lead you in those categories, his presence out there just does something to a football team. But the Bills defense, they still got some guys who can get it done. And as long as you have the explosive offense with Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs and Davis over there, you're going to give yourself a chance. So, yes, it is a blow to this defense, but they still got some guys over there.
All right. Taking a look around the NFL, I'm looking at the schedule right now. Thursday Night Football tomorrow is a matchup between Vegas. They are at SoFi to take on the Rams, who have really, really struggled. The Rams have not ruled out the possibility of starting Baker Mayfield, who they claimed off of waivers yesterday. Now, I don't think they'll actually start Mayfield. I don't think you think they'll actually start Mayfield. But what kind of, I mean, tell us, you know, without knowing exactly what's going on with the Rams, what it takes to come into a new team midseason. Like, how hard is it to pick up a playbook? How hard is it to, you know, pick up what another team does and build that chemistry. Like, that seems like a monumental ask.
Yeah, it all depends on the position, right? If I'm a running back, zone right is zone right, zone left is left, power is power. Only so many things you can do. But at the quarterback position, you're learning a language. So if Baker Mayfield were to start on Thursday, that means there's a similarity in the offense, the way they call some things in the language, and the other quarterback's just that bad during the week that McVay's like, you know what, I'm going to roll with this guy. So it's a tough thing to do, and you got to get acclimated to the players, right? You don't really have any chemistry with them. That is a tall order, but we will see what Baker can do. He'll play next week for sure.
All right, this is getting back to one of your four downs, but I just can't get over this story. So the Cowboys had interest in acquiring Odell Beckham Jr., but then there was a story that leaked that the Cowboys didn't extend an offer to Beckham because they had concerns over him not being able to work out in person or potentially not see the field until well into the playoffs. He's 10 months removed from an ACL tear, an injury that does usually take about a year to heal. Do you think that this is just a story leaked by Dallas to make sure no other teams make moves on Beckham?
I think there's a little bit of truth.
I like that conspiracy theory, by the way.
There's some truth to it. I mean, we saw my man Terrence ACL. Was it in the Super Bowl? Yeah, in the Super Bowl, in the first half of the Super Bowl. Like, we saw that. We know what it takes to get back. Everyone's not Adrian Peterson. So I think there's some truth to it. He might not be 100% ready to go. But I also think that the Cowboys leaked that information. They want Odell Beckham. How do you make him less attractive to other people? You make it sound like his services will not be available. So there's some truth on both sides.
Do you guys remember, this is obviously several years ago, when did Adrian Peterson tear his ACL?
When?
Was it early in the season? When. Was it the preseason? Was it midseason?
It had to be early in the season.
I think it was early in the season.
Because I was going to say, because he came back for the full season, which it takes usually a year.
He turned it around in 8 months.
That is insane.
Yeah.
Insane to me. Mm-hmm. Consider that Odell Beckham Jr. is 10 months, and according to Jerry Jones, I mean some kind of report out there, he's like not ready to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, not even that. You think of, now this is a patellar tear, but any of those big tendon tears, like Trey Brown just now getting back out there, and he's still, you know, building up those snaps from 3 to 10 to 15. It takes a long time.
Physically and especially mentally, believing that you can put your foot in the ground and go the opposite direction at full speed.
Yeah, unreal.
Yeah, he tore it late 2011, and the very next season, he ran for 2,000 yards.
Late 2011?
Late
so, like, 2011. Well within the season?
It was the last week of 2011.
Stop.
Wow. Yes.
He tore it the last week of 2011?
He did.
God,
and
I
then
didn't remember that.
The very next season came back for the start
unreal.
Of the season.
Real.
Played in all 16 games.
Stop.
Had 348 rushing attempts, 2,097 yards.
How?
The highest yardage per game in his entire career, 131 yards.
I just think that when you revisit.
He's a cyborg.
That's what I'm saying. When you revisit moments like that, you realize how astronomical that feat was. Because sometimes in the moment you don't realize it, you look back 10 plus years later and you think, oh my God. That's unreal. We haven't seen anyone do that since then. All right, that was your look around the NFL with NFL headlines. We are coming back with our eyes on the podium for Pete Carroll's press conference. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Alaska Airlines studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy.
Powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
We have our eye on the podium out at Seahawks headquarters, where the head coach Pete Carroll is scheduled to speak with reporters any moment now. I will interrupt us and take you there live the second we see him. He's not up yet, so let's start with a little bit of a preview of this matchup. We've talked plenty about the Seahawks defense versus the run game, the Seahawks defense versus anyone. I want to look at a strength of this team. This team right now is a top five passing offense. What kind of challenge are they going to face with the Panthers? There's like some secret hidden gems on this roster that are going to surprise you. And as you know, Bump, names that we're plenty familiar with that could make some noise.
Yeah, this Panthers team, you can't sleep on them. They got some names. Their run game has been decent. You got Brian Burns over there as well, 10 sacks. And also they've beaten teams that we lost to. They beat the Saints 22-14.
Mm-hmm.
They beat Tampa Bay 21-3. They beat
ugly.
The Atlanta Falcons 25-15. And then we have a common opponent that we both beat, the Denver Broncos. And when you look at the Panthers, they are 4-8. They have the 19th total defense in the league. They give up 135 yards on the ground. That's 25th, 14th when it comes to giving up passing yards at 212, and 14th when it comes to giving up points, 22 points per game. So when you look at the numbers, you look at our common opponents, then you feel like this could be a game. You know what I mean? The Hawks, on the other hand, their offense has been great. They're number nine offense overall, number five when it comes to scoring, number seven throwing the ball, number 19 running the football. So I feel like this is going to be another tough game, another game where it's going to be defined by three or four moments, moments that that stick out, whether it be a turnover by the defense, whether it be a big drive by Geno, whether it be third down stops, fourth down stops during that run game. When you watch this football game, trying to lock in on game-changing moments. I do a video every week, game-changing moments, on Seattle Sports YouTube. Go ahead and check that out while you're at it.
Seattle Sports YouTube, SeattleSports.com.
All day, every Monday. But look for these game-changing moments because I feel like it's going to be closer than what we expect.
There's a couple guys to keep an eye on. You've talked about Burns. They have some new faces, not new faces in the secondary, but C.J. Henderson is seeing some more time. He played 100% of defensive snaps against Baltimore, had a tackle for loss, 10 combined tackles. He had four combined tackles against Denver in that 23-10 win, in which he played 83% of snaps, which was the second most snaps played all game. So there are some names that are going to pop up and test this defense in a way that we may not be expecting, because I think you look at the Panthers and you think, I'm not worried about the Panthers. What are they? What are they going to do?
Yeah,
but you're right. Yeah. They've done damage, and every team has playmakers. So not only does your defense need to try their best, but your offense is still going to have a test.
Yeah, you have a test. You got a test against Foreman. He's got 400 rushing yard performances in the last six games. 126 carries for 563 and four touchdowns. So whenever you have a running back who is feeling a little good about himself, man, you have to take that into account. I mentioned Brian Burns. He's a first-round pick in 2019, 16th overall out of LSU in 2022, 53 tackles, 10 sacks, one forced fumble, two passes defended. 10 sacks is a career high for this guy. So he is having a career year. Again, I mentioned earlier that these tackles are going to be tested once again. So you look at Brian Burns on defense, you look at Foreman on offense, and then at the quarterback spot, we're going to see Sam Darnold, what I'm assuming. This guy's 11 for 19, 164, one touchdown. So
what, last week?
Ain't done much.
I'm not worried about that.
2022 QB
see, I'm
stats.
Saying that, but then I said, what are you going to have, a Cam Akers breakout game? And he had two touchdowns. So
yeah,
I feel like I need to say the opposite, where I'm like,
way to go, Stacey.
Yeah, I know, where I'm like, do not look past Sam Darnold, so that then he can make me look like an idiot and throw for 80 yards.
No, those were Sam Darnold's numbers on the year. 11 for 19.
Pardon?
164, one touchdown.
I'm sorry?
So he's only had one start this year, one game. Played in one game. So, yeah.
When was his last start?
His last start was...
this wasn't... He's been gone for a while, right?
Yeah, his last start was Sunday. Or a couple weeks ago against the Broncos. Yeah. 11 for 19.
I kind of have the feeling you did against the Rams, where it's like, because I'm not overly worried, is that bad?
It's always bad.
You know?
It's always bad.
I know.
This isn't like Alabama versus some random school week 10
no.
of the college football season. This is the NFL, where there are guys who, for the Panthers, that could play for the Seahawks right
yes.
now. That's why you don't sleep on nobody.
Happily take some of their defenders, without a doubt, 10 times. In fact, right now, I'd take Foreman in here if his foot could be healthy enough. Let's talk about, we'll take 2 minutes here, and we might break and come back if we don't see Carroll. So last second here, let's talk about the running back situation for Seattle. Oh, Pete's here. We're going to Pete Carroll live right now.
I have a little bit to add. Okay. What do you got? Let's go.
How are your running backs doing?
We got a little walkthrough done so far, and Tony Jones looks really good.
He's the only one in it?
No, we got other guys going. We got all kinds of guys going. Homer looked good today in the walkthrough. He's going to practice today. That's a real positive for us. We won't practice Kenny or DJ today. We'll hold them back.
I know Tony didn't play a ton so far, just the one game, but over the course of the last few weeks, practice, everything, what have you seen that in?
He's real aggressive. He's a downhill guy, runs strong, catches the ball really well, is a good pass pro guy. He can do everything. He's got a good style about him. He's a physical, aggressive style. Remember I mentioned to you that you asked me the question, like, you know, are you going to bring anybody else in? And I said, no, no way. Yeah.
I wrote
that obsolete story. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'm sorry. But, yeah, really. It, no, Wayne was, yeah, all of a sudden he's there, so it's good. My bad.
Could he realistically play in 3 days?
Yeah, he was about one out of three today and running plays the right way, so, you know, we'll give him a start. We'll see what happens.
Run those one out of three.
Pardon me?
Just run the one?
The one that he got right, yeah. He's an experienced guy, been around. He'll pick it up quickly.
How is Ken coming along?
He's doing everything he can. He's rehabbing all day long, every day, and doing everything that he can do to get right. I don't know that yet.
And how about Ryan Neal? How's he doing?
He went through the walkthrough and looked okay moving around. We'll take it easy on him today, though.
Would the injuries to the running backs ever change anything about your play calling as far as maybe looking for some of those shorter passes or swing passes to mimic the run game?
We're going to do exactly that, yeah. No.
How much consideration would that be in game play?
It doesn't affect us.
When it comes to running backs on the other side of this one with Deontay Foreman, he's got a lot of yards after contact. What is it about his running style?
Oh, man, he's really hitting it downhill. They're really committed to the running game. Their style is fits how he hits it. Breaking tackles, falling forward. Offensive line is really good, probably the best group we've seen. So they have the real commitment. And Coach Wilson has done a really nice job taking over.
Do you see some similarities in like the way that they're built or the players that they go after, just given the ties that Scott Fitterer and Dan Morgan have here?
Yeah, there is some of that. You know, those guys have a big background of being together and they always got along real well. They weren't at odds, you know, guys differing opinions and stuff. So that's going to come out like that some.
Dalvin had a really big game against you guys a couple years ago. Obviously, you remember that, I guess?
I did remember that, yes.
Just in general, what could he do?
He's got a nice style. He's a slash runner and hits downhill. Well-rounded. He can pass pro and he catches the ball well, too. So, you know, he's a guy that has a chance. He's been has some special teams background in him, too, which is an important factor as we move forward.
With Josh going on IR, is John Abrams ready for game action this week?
Yeah, he'll be ready if we need him.
Brian Burns, for them, what makes him so unique in his ability to...
He's a really, really good athlete, really athletic, you know, and he's got the burst and the length and all that kind of stuff, but he's really athletic and he's real slippery in his pass rushes, you know, he can get in and out of his spaces really efficiently. He has a really good motor. He really brings it, and he plays all the time. He's getting a ton of reps, and you can't rest on him at all. He'd take the edge in a heartbeat, so he's really a good player.
Did Joey get a chance to get any first-team snaps last week in practice? Was it all T's?
No, T's got most of them. He got almost all of them. I think Joey had a handful.
Pete, your offense is among the fewest three and outs this year. Even if you're not going down the field scoring every time, how important is that, getting some first down, staying on the field?
Yeah, we've just been efficient. You know, we've done a lot of good things, and that has to do a lot with, you know, how Gino's managing the whole thing. And there's a better efficiency, you know, that keeps you going and when you need it, you know, and so that's, we look improved in that regard.
Is this recent stretch from DK and Tyler maybe as good as you've seen? Sort of them together.
Yeah.
What is it about?
Yeah, they practice so well every day. You know, they're really disciplined about, you know, making the most of their reps, and so their timing that they're working out with Gino is, we see it every day. I mean, I've been raving about Gino's practice for a long time. Well, those guys are really, really on it. And I think they've found their rhythm of consistency and preparation that really allows for them to just go cut it loose in the games and things are happening, you know. So it's been really fun to watch these guys.
Is there something about their two styles or their personalities or just their skill set?
They're really different. I mean, they're as different as night and day, you know. And we love everything about each one of them, you know. And I love the variety that we have with those guys. And when you throw Marquise into it, and he's flying around the field too, it's a nice group. It's a really good group. So, but I think that the consistency that DK has come to with his route running and all the catches that he's making, the tough catches that he's making in traffic or whatever, he's just been rock solid for us.
Better having two different style guys, can that help an offense?
Luke? I like it. You know, I always like it just because, you know, with how we mix and match our matchups and stuff like that. And as long as you know what you can count on from the guys. And Tyler has such a huge range of things that he does so well. You know, it's just fun to have the variety to mix.
Those guys obviously get a lot of credit for executing, but with Sanjay working with them, how is he helped just with some of those details in route running?
Yeah, Sanjay's got a wealth of background and experience, and he's really you know, taking these guys to this level now that they're playing the best that they've played, you know. And he just has a lot to add, you know, wisdom and background and his demands, how he demands what they do and stuff. It's really sharp.
How much has Tariq grown in terms of like actually catching the ball when he's got a chance to make a play?
Who did you say? Tariq, he's got a habit. Every play that we take in practice, he catches the ball. He's got Sean Mannion working him out every day. And it just makes sense, you know, that he's more confident, more comfortable. You know, and Sean moves the ball around on him and stuff like that. He has improved his hands since he's been here with us. And it's he wanted to get, you know, a rhythm to his day that he could work on it. And we've fit it into practice, so it's pretty cool. You know, it's after the play's over, he's coming back, boom, he's catching a football. He might catch a couple of them in that time frame. So he's repping it out, and he's really shown that it makes a difference.
So it's usually Mannion that sort of gives him that extra.
Yeah.
On run plays too?
Yeah, whenever, I think it's every play they snap when he's catching the football.
Have you ever had a guy do that?
No.
You said he asked him to do that?
I think he generated it, yeah. I think that's right. Sean might have coached him up a little bit, I don't know, but I thought Tariq did.
He's had all of this success come in, you know, relatively quickly, you know, considering he's a fifth round guy. How have you seen him handle all that and all that's come with that?
He's been really he's been really appreciative, you know, of that's happening, and he's excited about it, and he's looking to find his ways to compete. He's developing the curiosity that really good players have to keep looking to try to figure out what can I do better. He's asked a lot of questions. He talks to everybody he can talk to. And he's just handled it really well. He's been very even-keeled about it. He gets mad when he gets beat, you know, when he doesn't do something right or he misses a read or something like that, and he'll get frustrated with himself, but he seems to be bouncing back really well, which is a huge asset to a corner. And so at this early stage, where he is, I think he's got it wired pretty good now. We just got to keep going, you know. Each week's a new mystery to us to some extent, so we just got to see how he handles it.
DJ Moore, the numbers suggest that it's a down year for him. Is that actually the case when you watch him on the field?
No, it's because of their emphasis around the football, and they're just not throwing the ball as much. But he's the star. He's the guy.
What have you seen out of their defense, especially since Wilkes took over? It seems like they've increased.
I think the whole team shows the change, you know, and you can see there's a physicality about him that's that is, you know, I'm sure what Steve's looking for. You know, it's shifted. You can see it. Defensively, they continue to be aggressive. They've got a really good group. They had a ton of sacks last year, and they're still putting a lot of pressure on. It just shows that he's figured into their mentality and all that, and it's a good way to go.
Is there any commonalities you notice there from the year he had with Arizona and the way that they played? Does that show up?
Yeah, I think so. That's what I think you can see in him. You know, he has a way about it, strong, and I don't know Steve very well. I just said hi to him, but I'm sure just the way his guys play, it screams about who he is and what he's all about. It's pretty impressive.
Look at the run defense last 3 weeks versus Bucks, Raiders, and Rams. Just what are you seeing?
Lots and lots of turns. You know, lots of reps. I mean, we've 40 reps a game almost. You know, of running game, and that'll speak to us getting off the field on third down in one regard, and then just we have to eliminate the explosive plays and keep those at a minimum. Play after play, we do some really good stuff, but there's been plays that have gotten away from us. And last week, you know, there was some perimeter stuff. The quarterback kept the ball a little bit, and the flies and stuff like that that got on the edge a little bit, had a reverse issue, you know, and it was a big play in the game for them. So there's just, we have to get rid of the explosives and make them just have to earn it. And so that's what we're stressing.
You mentioned the other day you made a lot of adjustments in that game after the first couple drives. What does that put on Jordan when you're adjusting things in-game and he's the one out there?
Yeah, there's a number of guys that, you know, had to shift gears a bit. Fortunately, the coaches had worked on the stuff that we emphasized in the game during the week, and so we just needed to tell them, okay, we're going to play a bunch of it and see how it goes, you know. And so there were some things we were tweaking along the way, and it was really impressive that we were able to pull it off. I thought we played really well after the first couple of drives. You know, I liked the way we played. The first couple of drives, we didn't slow down like we want to, but after that, you know, they had a touchdown in the next 8 times they had the ball, so that's a pretty good outing.
Talk about his communication and handling that side of the job this year. Is a game like that a good example of that?
Yeah, yeah, and then he would be the first to tell you. I think he relies on Cody too. He and Cody work it out. You know, they figure it out and solve the problems and transfer the communications along the line of scrimmage and all that. Those guys are a good team right now.
In general, thoughts on the opportunity ahead, the final stretch, 4 out of the last 5 games at home, just 1 game out of the division lead?
Just that it's 4 out of 5. That's all, you know, I would recognize at this point. I mean, this game is enormous for us right now, and So we got to go get it and do whatever it takes to get that done. And then I'm going to be, in my mind, I'm going to be in the fourth quarter when we get to next week. We're not there yet.
You've talked about various target numbers on offense in the past. Is completion percentage for your quarterback one of those target numbers you have? And if so, what?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't said this as much as I think that I've said it, but I've always expected us to be a 70% completion team. And that was the goal, you know. And knowing how hard it is and how few times that happens, you know. But that's always been, you know, the expectation I've had, because we're trying to throw stuff that you can have those expectations. We're not chucking the ball over the yard and just hoping that, you know, that we can hit stuff down the field. Everything is really designed to maximize efficiency. And so, in complement with the running game, that's you know, I've been saying that for a long time.
What's the thing about Geno being at 70? You know,
he's in 73. He's in it. He's doing it. That's exactly how we thought it could be, and he's in there right now. So, you know, whether he can continue that or not, I don't know. But he has shown that he can run this offense, and he's in command of it, and he can maximize the principles and the concepts. And last week was a great example again.
Was he always that accurate in practices the last few years?
Yeah, he's always been really accurate. He's a tremendous thrower. I mean, his mechanics, the stroke that he has and the velocity that he has on the ball has always been impressive. And now that he's put together, you know, his total command of the thing, that's why he's doing so well.
When everyone was healthy in the backfield, was Tony getting a lot of third down work?
In preparation, in practice?
Yeah.
No, not a ton. He's in it. But we had to rep the guys that were playing, you know, so... He takes a ton of it on the other side of the ball, but it's different. But he's doing fine. He'll do fine with his assignments and stuff. He's good at all that.
One more on Wolin. I can't remember if we asked you about the time that Sherman spent around him in the summer, but how do you think he has benefited from that?
I'd ask him. But it was cool to have, you know, have Sherman out here and kind of clunking around with him. I thought it was really good. I really didn't care what Sherman told him. I just thought him being around him would be, you know, a positive factor. So I think it was.
Hey, Pete. Tyler Lockett is the man of the year nominee for the Seahawks. There's so much that he's done on the field. What are you proud of, and how he represents the organization off the field?
Yeah, first off, around us, his voice and his experience, and which would lead to his wisdom, is really been apparent during this season. You know, maybe as much as ever. It is as much as ever, yeah, because it's the opportunity he's been there, you know, captain and all that kind of stuff. And he's really, I think he's affected more people in the program than he ever has. I mean, he's always been a marvelous competitor and performer, and, you know, we carry him off the field half the time for all the heroics that he's pulled off. But that's been really obvious, and it's cool to see that him emerge. His heart extends. I mean, he is the real deal. He's a great person. He's a great kid. He wants to help people. He's really creative. He's really creative, and I don't know how much you guys know about that, but he's really creative, and he has a creative mind about how to come up with ways to you know, make things easier for people and recognize people in difficult situations and see what he can come up with. And he's really proud of his home, and so he likes to, you know, work and do things back home in Tulsa and all that. So he's a marvelous representative in this position. I'm glad you brought it up.
The way that the Panthers run the ball, is it similar to what how the Raiders do it too?
They're a little different. There's some similarities, yeah. There's only so many runs, you know. So there's some similarities. The style of running that Foreman has, you know, with Jake, pretty similar.
Hey, Pete, Gino, we see the 70% kind of completion, but what can you say just about his preparation and commitment to his craft, not only now but through all these years?
He hasn't changed. You know, he hasn't changed. He's just doing what he always did. He was always using his imagination and picturing, I'm going to be in, I got to play, I got to get ready. And so he hasn't had to change anything. He's just extended it. Other than the fact that he has to talk to you guys, you know, he has to talk to the world as the guy in the position now, which he has just done a great job of. He's handled himself so well, been so humble, respectful, and on point, and creative and insightful. I mean, he's all been all of that, you know, in handling this. And so, but he hasn't changed. I don't see the change so much. He has more input. You know, he's more involved in how we make our decisions and the stuff that fits and all of that. That I know he's really enjoyed and he takes part in. So, that's pretty normal though.
So none of his season has surprised you?
No, I didn't say that.
What has surprised you?
No, what I think. I think what surprises me is his command of the situation, the overall command of how he's handled it and all that. Like I've said to you, he's fiery. You know, he's a fiery competitor, and that's a part of his game that he has to help work for him and not be a factor where it distracts him. And he's been able to do that, and then he's handled the position of being the starting quarterback for a successful team. You know, and you know, a lot of people are noticing it. It's pretty interesting.
How is John Radigan done in practice? Where does he have a chance to get
go.
Back?
He's ready to go. Yeah, really excited about John, you know, being back in action. He's looked great. He's really been fast, and the process must have been on point, because the day he came back a couple weeks ago, he was going. He could go, and he hasn't backed off one step the whole time. So we're counting on John helping us.
How did you think about how Michael Jackson and Trey played against the Rams?
Everybody that played corner had a couple plays in the game that I can't ignore, that weren't like we want them. But Michael's playing really good football for us. He's done a terrific job. I mean, I think he's had an excellent season, and you know, he wants to finish it off and finish it that way. Trey is coming back into the fold. We're trying to get him, you know, alive and well and competing. And he would, you know, he's in the top three corners now. So that's he's already shown us that.
Your chance to win four tickets to see the Seahawks take on the 49ers on Thursday Night Football coming up next hour. Before that, though, our takeaways from Pete Carroll.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studio, this is Seattle Sports Station. You're listening to Bump and Stacy,
powered by Kitsap Credit Union.
All right, you guys heard from Pete Carroll at his weekly press conference. Let's get to some updates here, to sum up everything you need to know, starting with the running backs. It's not great news, but it's not horrible news. It's just kind of the same. Running back Travis Homer, who was inactive, will practice today, so that's at least good news. They'll have him out there. Running backs DJ Dallas, who has an ankle injury, Ken Walker, who has an ankle/foot injury, will not. Asked about Ken Walker's status, Pete Carroll said, quote, "He's doing everything he can. He's rehabbing all day, every day. I don't know that yet." So I guess no bad news is technically good news, Bump, but the running back situation still in limbo heading into Sunday.
Yeah, it's not looking good, right? Naturally, you want K-9 there. Then after that, you want the guys who have been there, who know this offense, who have some type of relationship with this offensive line. But like I said yesterday, if there is a position to where you can just throw a guy in there for a week, maybe even 2 weeks, and you tap into something and he's able to be productive, it's that running back spot. It's the most naturally athletic position out there to where it's like run right, mm-hmm. run left, mm-hmm. run outside right. Now, it'd be nice to understand the flow of the offensive line, knowing their assignments, who they're going to climb to kind of manipulate where you want to run the football and how you want to flow when you run the football. But at the running back spot, you can throw somebody in there. It's not a sustainable type of thing. Guys are starters in this league for a reason, but you might be able to get away with it for a week.
All right, some more injury news here. Safety Ryan Neal, who was injured against the Raiders near overtime. He was in walkthrough. The Seahawks are taking it easy on him, but Bump, I think it's good news that he was in walkthrough. I mean, I know that's not full practice, but that he's even participating is good.
Yeah, I mean, if he was sitting down and not doing anything, this is better than nothing. So you take what you can get at. And at this point of the season, I don't think – now, practice is important, right? You need to be out there. You need to practice. It's nothing like getting live reps and feeling the flow of the game. But at this point of the season, you know who players are, and you know what they can handle. Some guys I used to practice with – well, he didn't practice. Walter Jones didn't practice a lick when I was with the Hawks, but he's a Hall of Famer, right? He knows what he's doing.
At that point, it's like, you know what? You take it. It's like when Dwayne Brown – different, obviously, but like Dwayne Brown – who else wouldn't? I think, was it Cliff Averill near the end or Michael Bennett?
Probably.
The guys that were clearly established that were also in their 30s would be like, I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah. As long as you're in shape.
Yeah. They're like,
those mental reps.
I don't need to practice all 4 days and have a walkthrough. Like, yeah. I'm okay.
You good.
I'm fine sitting this one out. On the Carolina Panthers side of things, I mentioned in NFL headlines that running back Dante Foreman, who would be their lead back heading into this one, is dealing with a foot injury. Some news since then from Joe Person, who covers the team. Dante Foreman said he is 95% sure he's playing. Meanwhile, Brian Burns is limited, though it doesn't sound limited on Wednesday isn't the worst thing. You're waiting to see if it's upgraded to full participant on Thursday or during the walkthrough on Friday. So it doesn't sound like the Carolina Panthers, even though their lead back and one of their best players are on the injury report, have any huge concerns heading into Sunday.
Again, guys who have their jobs pretty much solidified and sewn up, you just want to make sure they are healthy. That's the name of the game at this point in the season. Just get through practice healthy. Get through the season healthy. As long as guys, their condition is good, they're still working out, they're lifting throughout the season and maintaining or even getting some gains, you're good to go. A guy like Burns, man, 10 sacks. I mean, he's a guy. Mm-hmm. He's a dude. You know, a guy like Foreman, man, with 4 games this year, gone over 100 yards. So it's not ideal, but it's something that you can get away with.
Also, 4 games over 100 yards, like, I know people are like, well, is that the, you know, scariest thing? Yeah. Yeah, against the Seahawks defense right now, who have allowed, let's see, over 100 yards from Jacobs. They didn't allow over 100 from Akers. Did he get over 100 combined?
Total, he did.
Total, yeah. Like 2 touchdowns. They allowed 2 touchdowns from him.
Yeah.
They need to, and obviously 160 from the Bucs, 3 weeks in a row, allowing over 100 on the ground easily, which, like, 100 itself isn't bad, but I want to say it's, like, over 140. They need to figure it out. We all know that. That's not a hot take. I don't know how they do it. Like, I genuinely, it's not like they're not trying. It's not like they don't know what the issue is, right? There's nothing I can figure out that they don't know already.
Yeah.
So what?
It's just being disciplined. It's just doing your job. And then at the point of attack, you can do everything correctly. You can align correctly, line up in the right spot. You can assign correctly, go to where you're supposed to go. But then it's about execution. Now you have to make the play. And if one of those things are off, if you align poorly, but now you're making up to make a play, you've compromised the integrity of an offense or a defense because someone else is trying to make up for your mistake in alignment. If you assign incorrectly, now someone else is wide open. And if you don't execute, you're not making a play. So that's what the great teams do, is they put all three of those things together more or consistently and more often than the other team. And defensively, we just haven't seen a lot of that. We've seen glimpses of it. I don't watch this defense every play, and I'm like throwing my hands up. So mm-hmm. every now and then I'm like, all right, well, we missed our assignment right there. We weren't where we were supposed to be right there. So that's what it comes down to, especially at this point of the season. You're not going to walk into your meeting room and say, all right, guys, we're throwing the playbook out. We're going to start from scratch, and, mm-hmm. and this is what we're going to do. No, you make adjustment within your system and within your personnel. So that's going to be the challenge this week. Can the coaches make those adjustments, and can the players just do their job at a high level?
3 things. Number one, we are going to get back to the Mariners. Is it Brian Reynolds or bust? That's where we're starting at 1. 2, we've got your chance to win 4 tickets coming up in our final hour. So stay tuned for that and wait for your cue to call. Number 3. This is a weird tease, but Bump, I have been waiting 3 hours to put you on blast for this.
Put me on blast.
I have waited.
You ain't saying nothing to me all
this
time.
Listen, I know. I have waited patiently like a snake in the grass to be able to have it in hour 3 when we usually have a little more fun.
Why are you trying to embarrass me in front of my friends?
I'm not
going to
embarrass you because, look, you're not going to be embarrassed about this. Are you ready for the tease? You're not going to be embarrassed or ashamed. Do not say your answer. Think of the absolute best pizza you've ever had in your entire life. Think of the best pizza you've had in your entire life. 866-979-3776. Tell me what that is. The best pizza you've ever had. Bump's answer truly
bomb.
Shocked me.
Bomb.
That's coming up next.